Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I want to today, on our devotional before the message, encourage family participation and activity, interaction between the family, doing things together. And I would like to use a verse found in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, and is indicating that Timothy has been exposed to the Holy Scriptures. And by whom? By his parents, grandparents, mother, grandmother, and that he was with these ones day by day, and they had a chance to expose him to the Scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, there's the indication of children that we are to teach the Word of God continually, when you walk, when you sit, when you talk, day by day, when you work. And some of the things that we can do as a family, just do things as a family. You know, that's one of the things of Christianity, is that there is fellowship. No other deity. There is but one, and of course that's God. But there is no other alleged deity. I think that's the best way I can say it. There is one true God, and that's God the Lord, who has manifested himself in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And others will say that they are worshiping God. But look at what God the Lord did. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the very fact that God would stoop to become a man indicates again to us this love that he has for man, his creature, and that he would fellowship with us, and that he would make it so that we would seek him on a daily basis, go to him in prayer, indicates to us that the Lord delights in us being with him. Now let's take that to where we are. Since the Lord loved us, and he is holy and perfect, and he delights in our presence or our coming to him, what do you suppose our attitude should be toward those who are of like nature, such as you and I, and especially our loved ones, that we should love to be with them? Now, the Lord Jesus in the Gospel according to John chapter 17 talks about that communion that he had with the Father before the world was. Well, now there are people, we talk about the various relationships that we had before the worldliness entered in. Now, if you are a family and things are going adrift or apart or awry, falling apart for you, just think, what came between you and your family? The world entered in. The world riding in, or in the world encasing sin came in and acted as a wedge and drove you apart, and you're not spending that time together that you once did. I would encourage you to do small things like maybe pack a picnic lunch somewhere and go together. Sit down and talk. Get away from all of the electronic games. Just do something together as a family, and do it on a regular basis. Once a week or once a month, have a special time. We're pulling away together, and you watch the Lord work, because the world comes in and drives you apart. Our Heavenly Father, we plead the blood of Christ. Lord, there is such a need for homes today to have Christ at the center. We pray thee to work today and to glorify thyself. We ask all of these things, dear Lord, in Jesus' name and for his sake, that thou mightest be glorified. Amen. Let's continue in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, in which after Isaac has now gotten his wife, his married, and he has his lovely wife, his bride, he is delighted. He has been comforted since his mother has died, and Rebekah is going to take that place in his life. And as time goes by, the scriptures tell us that Abraham is going to marry another wife. You see, when his first wife, Sarah, died, and we pointed out that he was 137 when she died. She was 127 when she died. And how long had they been married? If she were 17 when they married, then they were married for more than 90 years. So that's a long time together, or 110 years, rather. They were married for 110 years. Now, of course, that's nothing compared to how Adam and Eve live, how long they live. But to be married, and it's a delightful thing to have your spouse with you. Some years ago, I was witnessing to a man. I picked him up along the highway. He wanted a ride and gave him a ride, and I was witnessing to him. And one of the attempts that I was trying to get him to see was that when a person puts his faith and trust in Christ, he enters into a relationship with the Lord. Now, at the time they exchange marriage vows, they take each other at their word, and they base their trust in this marriage upon what one has said, this I will do, this I am, and this I will do. And they do this in the presence of witnesses, and they must be doing so on their own will and consent and of marriageable age as far as the state of South Carolina is concerned. This must be done. And I said to this young man, I said, now, this is the way marriage takes place. And salvation is that you take God at His word that He will save you if you come to Him. He says, call unto me. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He that has the Son has life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I said, you know, and I did this, and at that time I'd been married 7 years. And he says, 7 years? You've been married 7 years? That's a long time to be with a woman, one woman. Well, I wasn't thinking that was a long time because I wasn't finished with her. I wanted to go on as long as the Lord would let me have her. And we're coming up on our 30th now. Thank the Lord for that. But this young fellow thought that 7 years to be with one woman was a long time. Abraham spent 110 with his if she were married at the age of 17. And, you know, and we have all of these delightful things that you build a marriage. You work. You build it. But here Abraham was grieved when his wife, Sarah died. And so he is free to marry another wife, and he marries Keturah. Keturah is going to bear him sons, 6 sons. Abraham is going to have another son. So he had a son by his handmaid Hagar. He has a son by his wife Sarah, and he'll have sons by his handmaid Keturah. She bare him, in verse 2 of Genesis 25, Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And then they give the children that she had. And all these were children of Keturah. So in this 25th chapter of Genesis, we'll see the sons of Keturah by Abraham. And there will be a matter of him caring for his sons by her. Don't know if any daughters were given, but they're not listed. And so, but he does take care of them. The division of his goods are seen in verse 5. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. But notice in verse 6. He gives unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. So at this point, it is possible to understand that she was called a concubine, And these others were going to have children also. So the seed of Abraham. But this is not the Jewish race, the ones that are born to Keturah and to Hagar. The Jewish race comes through Abraham and Sarah. And you remember Lot was Abraham's nephew. And as Abraham's nephew, Lot fathered children in an incestuous relationship under the influence of strong drink. He was a drunken man. Had two sons by his daughters, Ammon and Moab. Moab being the oldest and Ammon being the younger, with the younger daughter. These still were not Jews, even though they were in Abraham's line. The Jews came through the line of Abraham and Sarah. So you can see how close on either side. Hagar did not produce the Jewish race. Keturah did not produce the Jewish race. They were not Jews, even though they were born of the seed of Abraham. So the Lord is teaching us something through this, that when you are in God's family, it is a definite act of God. Abraham and Sarah had a child that was born directly of God, even though many of the surrounding circumstances seemed to fit and to be acceptable. Keturah bore a child or children by Abraham in the lawful or the natural way. Hagar bore a child by Abraham in the natural way. Sarah did not. Sarah had a miraculous birth. Again, that points to the miraculous new birth. That Abraham was one who bore, and in him was the seed, the holy seed. The Christ child would be born through that line. And so, again, just one line, just one way into God's family, and that is through faith in Christ Jesus. So all of those children that were born by Abraham, seven right here. And the scriptures say in verse 6 of Genesis 25, verse 6, it says, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And Abraham now is old in years, and he gives up the ghost and dies in a good old age. The scriptures say in verse 8 that he was gathered to his people. What does that mean? He was gathered to his people. You see, this is not the end of life. When a person dies, there's a gathering of those souls, of those beings who've lived. There is a gathering. And we'll start with this on the next program. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time with the Word of God and thy people. And Lord, we pray that someone has had a burden lifted or someone has been illumined as to thy truth and how thou dost work today. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina.